At this time, I will call the meeting of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees, regular business meeting for October 17th at 12:01 PM to order. And I would like to ask Chief Smith if he would open us with prayer.
Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day of life. Lord, we ask for your blessing hand upon us today. I ask that you be with each and every one of us, our families. Help us make the best decisions we can for the township. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jan, will you lead us in the pledge?
Yes, I will. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
It's up to you.
Mr. Mazur, will you please give us a roll call?
Yes, sir. Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
And Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to old business, we have none. Patty Spencer, you're up.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday to you.
Don't have a whole lot this time. The first thing under health and safety there, Columbus Public Health is doing flu clinics at Fire Station 10 on West Broad Street. The first one is tomorrow, October 18th, and the second one is November 22nd, both of them from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They also are offering flu vaccinations for homebound Franklin County residents. And if you need a home visit, I have a phone number for you to call. The second thing is they are offering information and for respite care. And that is through the senior options program that the city offers. And I have a phone number there for that. And also there's information on their website. Then apparently they are making changes to the SNAP program, which is the Ohio Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. And this went into effect October 1st, and it's to make things easier to find work and advancement in careers. And I have information on that and website to get to. And the last thing I have, short this time, is the Winter Crisis Program, which they are accepting applications from citizens from November 1st into March 1st of 2025. And the program provides assistance per heating season, which would be over our winter season, and emergency heat, which can also help pay for the heating system repairs up to $1,500 in certain cases. I've got a phone number and a website to make an appointment if anybody needs it.
Okay.
And that's it.
We have a lot of new faces in the audience. You want to tell everybody
who I am
and who you're with?
I am the zoning chair for the Southwest Area Commission. City of Columbus, and our boundaries, which includes all of this area, stretches from the south 270, to the west the railroad tracks, to the east the Scioto River, and to the north the middle of Mound Street. So we have quite a large area. Our area encompasses Franklin Township, Jackson Township, County, and of course City.
And she has a wealth of information, so you can see her afterwards. We appreciate everything you do for us.
And we appreciate you coming to our meeting. And also, you want to tell them about your meeting in case people want to come to your meeting.
Oh, yes. Well, our meetings are the second Tuesday of every month, except December. here at this building, so you can't get lost. And most of the time it's fairly mundane. What we have coming before us is generally zoning information. We have a lot of people sometimes from the city of Columbus that comes in to tell us what they do, what departments are offering. The two current things that we've been working on was Double Happy at the corner of Hopkins and Brown Road, which has now been renamed Bumble, and it's become a dog park. And the second thing that really is going to have a large impact on the area commission's area is redoing of Cooper Stadium area with apartments, multi types of businesses, and a possible event place to go. So,
are they going to keep the structure up? I mean, that old ballpark, I was a kid going there, and I hate to see all that tore down.
No, they're wanting to keep it. They came before us last Tuesday for signage of that, and they were looking at wanting to put one sign with like 65 foot by 37 foot that would show to the freeway. Another one was on Mound Street. And then I think it was a total of about 10 different signages. And at this point, we've kind of sent them back to do more homework because they had not satisfied any of the concerns that any of the city departments had had over the signage.
I know one thing about Columbus. I mean, they are good at wrecking historical places.
Sir, hold your comments.
Stuff all the time.
Have they been maintaining any of those structures?
I'm sorry?
Have they been maintaining any of the structures?
They were, when we approved them in the beginning, I believe it was 2019, they wanted to keep part of the stadium, and then they were going to also put businesses under the stadium. And they were going to keep the ticket office building and the highway patrol building.
Okay.
That was 2019.
Is it structurally sound?
Barry, there's no questions at this time. If you want a question, we have a business meeting here.
I don't know if I would be capable of remembering that far back.
Well, yeah, we have a business meeting. We have to continue to go through.
But anyway, I will leave this, and that is who I am. If anybody has any questions, or you know, if you need any help with anything, even if it's you don't know whether it's in your area or not, I can do what I can.
Yep. And Patty always does stay until the end of the meeting, so
I do.
And she'll be happy to meet with anybody afterwards.
I will leave these up here with you if anybody.
Yep, we appreciate you. I'm still wanting to get you a bulletin board. So, all right, moving on. Mr. Fleshman, do you have any comments or questions from the public?
We do. We have three speakers today.
All right.
You'll get 3 minutes to speak. We won't interrupt, so you'll be able to say what you want, and then after your 3 minutes is up, then we'll comment, which has no times. First, we have Madison, if you'd like to come up.
If it's more, you can do it from right there.
If you want to, yeah.
That's okay.
Just say your name, your address, and speak loudly because it's recorded and going to be on the recording here.
Okay. My name is Madison Russell. I live at 849 Richter Road, Columbus, Ohio. I've lived there for 3 years. My husband's family's been there since the 40s. These are my neighbors. We've always had a pretty tight-knit community. Everybody knows each other. We all communicate. We've had some flooding in the last couple of years, so a lot of people have moved out. A lot of new people have come in. We haven't really been able to get familiar with everybody. Some of the newer neighbors have brought in their dirt bikes, their ATVs. They've been ripping up and down our roads. I can't put this one down for a nap. Every time I put them down for a nap, there's a motorcycle engine ripping. One's a motorcycle, one I can't think what they're called. They're the motorcycles, but the tires are really, really big.
It's like a large pit.
Pit bike, I guess.
Mini bike or something like that, yeah.
And they take the exhaust off. And so they've been going up and down the street. I can't take them for walks because I'm afraid I'm going to get hit, to be completely honest with you. They started racing other cars for some of the other kids on the streets. They'll race their dirt bikes and their cars up and down the road. And then our neighbor, who's unable to make it, there's about 9 of us that have all come together and have the conversation, not only with each other, but with the kids who are doing it. She's a empty lot next to her house, state owned. FEMA came in and bought it out after it flooded. They've been ripping through there, and they've now started bringing their Jeep Grand Cherokee up and down all in the hours of the night. We've called the cops. Everybody's called the cops. It's very rare that they show up. We were told last on Sunday. My husband called 3 times, was hung up on twice. Third time we got through, they came out and told us we just are not a priority. With my kids, I don't really necessarily appreciate being told that we're not a priority, because it would be a priority if I hadn't forbid we're be walking them and we're get hit by a car or a dirt bike. I don't think that's fair. We were told that they can't do anything because there's no trespassing signs. There are, but because of the construction, I guess you can't see them. Something needs to be done. Someone, either us, kids riding the dirt bike, somebody's going to get hurt because they're not wearing helmets either, and they have kids on them. It's just a mess. It's a whole mess.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as being priority, the chief can speak on this probably better than I can. They do rank. It's not that you're not a priority, but the calls that they, how they rank calls, priority, they assign them a, it's a letter, correct?
Yes.
You want to speak on it, Chief?
Yeah, I was going to talk about it anyway. Every call that comes into the dispatch center receives a priority code based on is it violent or what type of call it is. They're all important. And I've talked to a couple residents this week from Richter who stopped in. So that is a priority. We are trying to put extra patrols in that area. I mean, it's even worse because of Hart Road. So we are trying to devote as much attention to it as we can. Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about it when it was my turn, but we are aware of it and trying to address it. We've impounded some bikes from Little, Hart Road, Brown Road. I mean, every time we catch them, they're not allowed to be on the street. So one of the things we do is impound the bike.
Can I say something? Okay. I do know that one of the bikes that was taken from Hart,
okay,
they are have made everybody aware that they would just like bought a new one.
No, I know. Okay. I know. I can't stop them from doing that. But if it's not allowed to be on the road, then we will impound the bike.
Mm-hmm.
They either have to prove they own it to get it out of impound,
right,
or obviously just go buy a new one, but you would think they would write it where they're allowed to, as opposed to pay to get a new bike.
Is there some kind of citation that comes with that when you take their bike and it's a kid? Do you like take them to their parents, or is there anything? I'm just curious. I don't know how it works myself.
Yeah, it's a normal traffic tickets.
Okay.
Like if you don't have an operator's license, it can't be on the road. So you're charged with either whatever, you know, reckless operation, and then written a traffic ticket. If you're a juvenile, you'd have to go to court with a parent, and then we impound the bike also.
So, Chief, has anyone got these impounds back? Have they, do we know?
I don't know. I mean, if they can prove they own it, then they can legitimately get it back.
Okay.
We can't hold them. We can only impound them at that time.
Have we made contact with the residents? My question is too, is it renters or do they own? And then have we made contact with them, you know, just stop in and say, hey, we've had a lot of complaints. You know, this is what's going to happen. If we come back out here and we catch you, you're going to get impound. You're going to get this, 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 and this. This isn't a place that you can ride these.
Right.
And especially riding on the Franklin County where they took the buyout, that property is private property for Franklin County commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need anything from the commissioners to say?
I don't think so. I think we can enforce it on their behalf. I mean, like we would anywhere else. I want to say that we probably impounded a junk car off of there for them.
Okay.
So, but as opposed to buyers, renters, I don't know that. And the two that I know Kidwell got, I believe the parents were there. So the parent was aware that we were taking the bikes. Honestly, my opinion, it's a parenting issue.
Absolutely.
The parents know. They know what their kids are doing. And if you don't, that's your fault too.
Well, you can hear them out there.
Well, that's what I mean. So the parents don't care. Unfortunately, you know, Franklin County does not consider that child endangering if you let your kid do that necessarily. To your question, John, yeah, the parents are aware of those cases. And they're definitely aware of when, if it's a juvenile, when they have to go to court. Because they have to go with them.
Okay. Do we know the address where they're coming from?
It's multiple addresses.
Okay. And then you had an address, ma'am?
810 Hart.
810 Hart? Okay.
And they just bought the house, and mom sits on the porch and watches them do it.
Okay, so 810 Hart, if we can make a note of that. And then are we able to possibly, we can say we tried, if we send them a letter from here letting them know that in Franklin, you know, welcome to the community, realize you can't ride ATVs and motorcycles on private property as well as on the street.
There's also, there's an ATV also on Richter Road that goes up and down the road.
Do you know what address that's?
1180
Richter?
Yes.
Okay, so we have two addresses that we know that these
it's
are.
A blue ATV.
Okay.
And Chief, any other address you have, can you get it with get that address with Nicole and we'll send a letter out.
Yeah.
And then that way, so when we do impound or we do see them, a letter may be nothing. It may not do anything, but at least we took the steps. And even if it's bad parenting and they're not going to do anything, well, it goes to court. We warned you. We sent you a letter. We informed you what the regulations and laws are, which obviously all of us pretty much would take as standard. So this is just putting our ducks in a row so that, you know, that we can ask for the stringent ruling that would come down so that the parents are held accountable for them, because it's not so much to punish the kid, it's to save, you know, at that age you don't have as much fear as you do when you get older, and you're out there just ripping it up and everything like that, and your disregard to everything else. So not only are you endangering, that child is endangering himself, but others that may be there, because you may be driving down the road and you swerve to keep from hitting him and you go in a ditch and then you hurt yourself.
Yes.
So there's a whole host that can come behind that. So, John, you're up next.
Yes, I want to state that I agree with Madison about the same complaint I have. However, there's another thing I want to add. We're getting unlawful gunfire up somewhere up in Richter Road. I know it's an semi-automatic because it's multiple shots going off all the time. Now, it doesn't happen every night. But it occasionally does happen. And I don't know where these stray bullets are going.
Sure.
And I thought the city of Columbus or the county or somebody had that new sound effect. Were they supposed to spot where this gunfire is coming from? But apparently, I don't know. Nobody's working, you know, listening to it. My neighbor up there, I told her to stay home because you don't know what's up there. You know, it could be a bunch of white supremacists up there shooting guns off. Now, you know, people want to get involved and get shot, but there has been occasionally gunfire going off all hours of the night.
Chief, what is the ordinance on firing guns in the township?
In the township, you're allowed to fire a gun, but it has to be not towards a habitated area, meaning you have to have a suitable backstop. You can't be putting other people in danger. I mean, each situation is going to be different. I'm not familiar with that one. I know we have a couple up in Moneyback who we've had, you know, calls for target practicing.
And Hague Avenue.
Those were safe. So each one is different. If you're shooting in your backyard and there's a house behind your backyard, you can't do that. You know, so there's state violations against that. But it just depends, Jim.
Right.
Yeah, I noticed it comes in. Gunfire going off on Richter Road, up in the field area, up through there. also on Hart Road, down there by the creek, running them houses, someone's firing weapons off in there.
So when you...
It's automatic gunfire.
Have you guys called the sheriff's department when you hear that?
We call them, but usually have to go through, by the time they get out there, stop.
Right, but the good thing is, you may think that it's a waste of your time, but what it does is it makes a record, and there's an actual record, so that we can show that there's been a ongoing issue with this. If nobody calls at all, just like the ATVs, if nobody calls at all, then it's like, well, it hasn't been that big of a deal, because they go by stats. And here in a little bit, when the chief reads off his stats, and that's kind of why I asked it come in today, because we're all here. We all learn the situation at one time, and then something can get done versus just, you know, when someone calls me, I still have to bring it to the other three. So this is a good day that we can potentially, hopefully, put an end to this, and we have a plan going forward where hopefully we can curve the issues going on.
No, I just wanted to add one thing. My neighbor across the street, Kathy, she can't be here today because, you know, she had some church or organization thing going on. However, several months ago, might have been longer, she had a leak in her roof. You know, she called a roofer in to find out what the leak was. Well, he got up there and he found out it was a bullet hole in her roof.
Mm. Wow.
And that was causing the leak coming down in her house.
Okay.
I see Chief Becker writing, so I'm sure he's going to pass it on to
his men. Yeah, see, and this is a perfect example of if people call in when they hear that, it's documented now that there were people shooting in that area and et cetera. Who knows if the insurance now, you can prove that there was an incident in that area by that. It helps not only us, but it helps the homeowner as well. So anytime you see that and you hear that, always just make that phone call. Even if you think they're just going to hang up on you or whatever, once you made that call, there's a record. So that's what we need to be able to use for our benefit to help you. So the old saying, help us help you. So.
Lastly, I don't think that spot of fire that you're talking about.
That's not county.
That's going to be Columbus. And
yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, they don't share.
Somebody said that there was one located down in the... down in the bottoms area, you know, down there on the bottom.
Yeah, but that wouldn't pick up.
I didn't know if it could pick up that far out or not.
I do think they're mobile too, and they move them around, because I've seen them put them over in Westgate Park a lot.
Yeah.
But we don't happen to be fortunate enough. No. I just wanted you to know, that's all. That's not, that the chief isn't doing his job, or we're not checking on him when we hear him go off. It's we don't have it to hear.
I'm just worried about stray bullets.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. Joe?
Well, about everything has been covered.
Okay.
As far as the noise, the mini bikes and the ATVs going up and down the road, the speed limit is 25, not 55.
Absolutely.
You've got cars coming, you've got Hart Road shut off on County Bridge. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got cars and trucks racing across that side road down along the lake, comes up that hill, then they floor it and they go speeding down the road. Same way with coming up the road, they're speeding and going cutting through.
Yeah.
Now you've got a dirt road going through those two properties where they're doing that construction by that bridge.
Yeah.
In the evenings, after they're done with that construction, when they're done work, there's cars going in.
Cutting through
there.
Yeah.
Now what's going to become of that?
So
now that you've got a speed monitor there, right, I'd say what, west of Avis, it should be turned around the other way, facing that hill where it dead ends.
Gotcha.
Because when they're coming over that hill is when they're flooring it.
So, Chief, are we able to
spin it around
as well as maybe, we get so many calls. I've rode with our officers, and it's nothing to be run after run. But if we could get a officer free, and then sometimes we have grants that cover overtime, if that is one of the areas that, you know, for the people cutting through, if we could work that, that would be great.
Now, Friday, there was two officers there. And
okay.
Wendell, and I can't think of the other guy. I talked to them about it. And while we was there discussing the problem, one come over the hill and floored it. And I said, see there, see what I'm talking about? And they chased him. They stopped him there on Richter Road toward Brown Road. They got him.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about. Right out in the open.
Yeah.
And they were there investigating the dirt bike.
The dirt bike.
They were behind the bushes. This guy was fine. And they got him good. And you know, that was one of the most happiest times I had in all
yes.
of that.
Okay. Yes.
Moving on.
But I can't think of anything else.
Sure. Part. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on. Chief Smith, while you've been talking already, you're up.
Segue right into Richter Road. So we are stepping up patrols on Richter. It is a problem, especially I know Hart Road is supposed to be probably a few more weeks. I don't know. Jim may have more information. But they're using it as a cut through. It is definitely a problem. So we can spin that speed sign, put it on the other side of the road. And see if that
maybe alternate it, you know, 1 week or
sure. Yeah, we usually do 2 weeks and then we kind of move it around.
Yeah, we appreciate what you're doing, Chief. I know your time.
You're
okay. Let me remind everybody, this is not a comment time for comments.
Okay. So we are working on Richter Road. With that, I will segue right into the last two spots for our traffic detection system. So Alkire, the one on Hickory Run is, you know, the average speed was maybe 30, so that's what I expected to be. Alkire Road, however, the average speed is about 70.
Wow.
That's not everybody, of course, that's just an average. But during a week, on each side you had 53,279 cars, and then 54,250, so the average speed is about 70. So that's also one that we need to work for the next 2 weeks, so we can address that, and I can present that, you know, next meeting.
Awesome.
So those are on the radar. With that said, so we've talked before about it would be Medal of Valor awards in relation to the critical incident back in May at Georgesville and Klein. So those are in the process of being ordered, like you and I talked about. And I should, you know, sometimes it takes a couple weeks, so hopefully by either next meeting or the one after, we can present those at a township meeting.
Okay.
Also, the Sheriff's Office does what's called a Star Award every year. They stopped during COVID, but they've since started up. This year, I recommended Lieutenant Ratliff, give him a little pat on the back. So he was accepted for the Star Award. That is November 8th. If anybody's interested in ticket information, let me know and get that link sent over to you.
Okay.
Is he back to work now, part-time? Or?
Oh, he's back to work on light duty.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. What's his days?
He is off Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
So he'll
working
be back
every
Monday.
Day.
Hmm?
He's working every day.
Okay.
Sort of. So kudos to him. I wanted to talk about the 13th officer. After looking at all of our stats, our schedules, everything we have going on, I believe it is a better use of our officer. I have two issues I need to kind of take care of with this officer. One is to mitigate the overtime between second and third, between that 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift, because that's typically the lowest staffing shift. And also, obviously, traffic complaints is, I think, the other biggest thing we get in relation, in addition to like drug activity and things like that. So I will put it together for the board. But what I'm leaning towards is probably 4 10-hour days. They would come in, it'd either be 4P to 2A or 5 to 3, so I can capture that overtime period and also for traffic control. So this person would be primarily dedicated to traffic, with the exception of priority runs, or if we're short-staffed, obviously, or something like that. Would take precedence over traffic.
I think that one of the things that we're seeing, and more residents are seeing, anytime that we can make a difference with the traffic, because as I know, being out with the police to see what they're doing, it is unreal out there. You can't police your way out of it. It's like a babysitting. You go from run to run to run to run, and that makes it very tough. But having this where you overlap and we can get some trafficking in there, I think that that's excellent for the residents.
I think it'll be really effective.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've already talked to Steve. Lieutenant Ratliff is going to handle the junk cars.
The which cars?
The junk cars.
Junk
Remember,
cars.
That was an issue we wanted to take care of. It's not that big of a task, so it'll be just fine. So that's...
I think that's good use.
Let's see, Richter. Had something else, maybe I don't. Nope, I will. Well, I do have one thing. Sorry. So, all three of you gentlemen have the quote I was asked to get for the sign for by the Christmas tree when we do the tree lighting. I wanted to kind of explain that a little bit. So, I asked him for two different quotes. The first one is an aluminum cast frame, like you would basically see bolted to a building. They can either be aluminum or bronze. They have raised lettering. That type of, and that can also be on a pole. I'm not sure how effective. They come with a pole, but it's a steel rod that's maybe 3/8 of an inch. So I don't, that'll probably wiggle. Yeah, I'm not sure how that'll work.
Yeah.
So that one is just over $300. So you, and both of these are 8x10. The other one is an aluminum frame, with black DuraBlack insert, which is a heavy duty, almost like a polymer type material. However, the writing or whatever the inscription is going to be laser cut into it, so it's much cheaper. And that one is $149. And that also includes the post. One takes 4 weeks, one takes 10 days. We have plenty of time for whatever the board would decide.
So again, this sign is for, what's it?
For Brown's Tires presenting the Christmas tree.
Gotcha, okay, the just wanted to make sure. Mr. Chairman, I mean, what is the pleasure of the committee as far as this goes? What do you think looks best for the purpose of the sign?
They both look really nice in the showroom. They're both signs are really nice. The one for $149 would be just fine.
Okay.
I'm not sure how well, again, it would stay on a pole, you know, over time. It might be better attached to the building, but they can both be attached to the building if we decide we don't want to use the pole.
To Mr. Blevins,
I would go with the $149 for sure.
Okay. The reason that I'm asking, I realize it's $149 out now, but the durability and the wear over a period of time, would it be better to have the aluminum one versus the other one? That's the only thing I'm
They're both aluminum, John.
Okay.
The cost difference.
The difference is raised letters.
Yes.
Oh.
Essentially,
okay.
Just the raised letters.
Okay.
It's almost like
Well, the committee recommends, what I am hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, the committee is recommending the $149, the aluminum sign with the black, DuraBlack insert.
I can tell you, and we don't have, the best part about this is we don't have to make a decision today.
Okay.
It's literally right down the road here.
Okay.
You can probably throw it and hit it with a rock, basically. It's off air
for a bike.
If you'd like to take, we don't have to decide today if you have time. In the next 2 weeks to stop in there and take a look at it yourself.
Sure.
We can hold off till then. It's up to you guys.
Mr. Chairman, just to move things along, I'm fine and feel confident in the proposed pricing that if the board so deems to move forward with this, we could do this today.
I'm good.
If you want to.
So be it resolved.
You want to make that, we can do
sure.
it.
Yes, sir. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board accepts the quote for $149 for aluminum frame with black dual insert letters, 8x10 post included. This will be ready in 10 days from the time of ordering. If there is no further question on this, I would ask for a second.
You made that a motion or a resolution?
And this is a resolution, okay. Since we're spending money.
And the resolution will number will be filled in?
At a later date. We don't have it here at the table. And on my apologies to the board. We customarily usually have it, but there's no sense to come back with this if we can get our ducks in a row now.
I would agree with you, and don't apologize to the board. This is something we've all just given today.
Sir, she has it for you.
She does. That's quick. And a resolution, ma'am, would be?
2024.
Okay, got it. So again, that resolution for that would be 2024-924.
Hang on a second.
Sorry, I looked in the wrong one.
No worries.
177.
How did we get up that high? But
I thought that sounded weird.
So, with said resolution, that number will be 2024-177. If there's no further questions on this, gentlemen, again, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second.
Okay. And I will call for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leaser?
Yes. I'll let you second it since you sit on that committee.
Sure. No, I got it.
We just need a POC. Some point, and then we need to figure out what the inscription needs.
And I'm not dead set on the post out there, but I just thought it would be by the tree. It would give him more recognition. But if it's better on the building, but you get what I was asking about, a post next to the tree. That way,
can it be mounted on a 4x4 post that's just so high up out of the ground?
However you guys can mount it. Yeah,
probably a better idea. I think it'd be more stable than just a.
Yeah, the wind blow it over, someone trip over it.
Yeah, I mean, however, that's not my, that's not my department. All right, anything else for us?
Well, no, sir, unless you have questions.
I have a question for you. I know it's been some time and you may not be able to speak on it. It may still be classified under investigation. Is there any news on the Sheriff's Department investigating the bad checks?
No.
Nothing came back yet. Okay. No. I hadn't heard anything, and I just wanted to ask you and get it out there on record that we have not heard anything back yet. Okay.
And then I've got something real quick, and this might help you folks. So I came to you, Byron, with a problem of trash at the Boost Mobile and that whole shopping center. And so he sent one of those letters that we're talking about sending out for you guys, and I want you to know I'm reporting back that they are definitely taking care of it. I see a gentleman out there a couple times a week, and it has worked well to send a letter to the property owner, in which you did. And so me and my neighbors want to thank you for doing that, and I thought it would let you guys know you may get some relief by that letter going out to the parents. If they're no good parents, they're going to be no good parents, but hopefully they'll realize that it's not the thing to do, and that this letter will help. But I just wanted to let you know. And then Byron and I were at the Narcan giveaway again yesterday, is the second one. And a lady at Oak Street Health told us a piece of information that I thought was great. Is their third in the entire country is that one right down there at Eakin Road and Harrisburg Pike. And their whole entire company, they're the number third
the pharmacy
and healthcare. Oak Street. So wow. I just wanted to give you that report. It went really well. We've improved a lot from week to week. We've got a system set up now, and so I think that's going to be well on its way, and we can help some people. And several people from the township came by and partook in that. So
I'll try to get out there one Wednesday. Okay. Wednesdays is tough for me though, but I used to go down with you when you passed it out before. Just haven't been able to this time, but. John, you have anything you need to question?
No, I think I'm good.
I'll find the property owners for those two addresses.
Yeah, I wrote them down too. Did you get the first one? Because I saw you write it's
810.
Yes, sir.
And then 1180 Richter.
I'll go by myself and scope it out and stuff, and we'll get together. Okay. I mean, not that I can do anything, but I like to know who it is we're talking about when you guys talk to me and everything.
Go ahead, John.
So thank you.
The sad part is they come in all hours of the day and night. 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you run down here. I know you can't be there 24/7, but
Our goal was to take the bike, so.
Chief, I did get a.
I'll talk to you afterwards, I promise.
I did get a text first thing this morning from ODOT in regards to that homeless camp. And of course, working with Columbus, Liaison, I can't think of who it was. They're out of there, but they're gonna come in and see about cleaning up the mess. And they are still moving forward with trying to see about putting a wall from Wilson Road all the way down, I don't know how far down, El Paso, for the noise from the freeway. So it looks very promising that ODOT may do that.
That would help tremendously.
Well, the sound, exactly.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Chief Arnold.
Good afternoon. I just have one quick tidbit, and then I'll entertain your questions. If you're wondering why there's a parade route of fire trucks at 192s the past 3 days on Solomon Avenue, we are coordinating with Marathon Oil. We have their national emergency response trainer at the firehouse currently, or they may be up on Wilson or Fisher Road at the storage facilities. But we've coordinated a training, and Columbus Fire is very interested, obviously, with how to protect those facilities. So they've been here the last 3 days, so 192 has been packed with fire trucks.
I thought you guys just had some good lunch.
Papa John's.
I thought it was chili cook-off.
Anything else for us?
I don't have anything else.
All right. On that sign, mm-hmm. I looked over the quote that you had forwarded to us. Can you check into the, I think we spoke on it, but can you just check into, we don't need a permit, and.
Yeah, I didn't like that quote, and I'm waiting, like I said, okay. I'm waiting on that callback, so.
Okay.
I'll get you something more concrete and better. Listing
okay.
What the actual.
Yeah, that was my thing. I just picked up on that, and I make sure they're not charging us tax.
For sure.
John, you have anything? Mike, you have anything?
I do. I read it also, and at the very bottom, it states that they don't even start to work until they receive a deposit.
Yes.
So they haven't started to work, correct?
No, gosh.
Okay, so.
I don't even think
we. If I just want it to be out there as an option, I don't care if whatever the board's pleasure is on it, but. I think Steve's has a man who did this sign out here. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so yes. I think
it never hurts to get more.
Some point in time, we should do the couple of quote things. Would work out better.
Never hurts to ask.
And I'm not opposed. And I seen your sign, and mm-hmm. I get it goes along with your whole
theme
and everything over there. And I got it and everything. And so I'm not opposed to it, but. I'm just letting it be known that it's not like the sign is done and needs to be picked up because
no.
We haven't even paid the deposit no. check. Because I checked.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, well, it's done. So it's a done deal. You know what I mean?
But like I said, I honestly think the design is 100% approved.
So. Okay.
With Shakers, we ran into an issue where the county did not know that they were doing this. Do we need to change anything with the way that we do demos that the county should be made aware of? In this incident, I got a call from Stephen Renner and the situation, they said they had a lot of stuff in the area. They just needed to know what was going on. So do we need a policy or a method in which we issue the demo permits that Franklin County knows about it and everything in that area is good for what they're doing?
I believe it states right on the application that you are to, as the demolition mm-hmm. crew, to make okay. sure
okay.
to call the county to make sure that everything's in order with the county. I believe Nicole and Todd and Bill Tool have looked over that application and they might bold print that or do something to draw more attention to that because it's been an ongoing problem.
Yeah, so do we need to, before we issue it, that they bring something from the county that they've already done their work before they come to us?
That's a possibility.
So because we bold it and we do things of that nature, so what ends up happening is that, you know, things get delayed and et cetera. So in the future, if we would send them to the county first, and then they come to us, that would tend to alleviate any issues getting back and forth. Let them do the process through the county. They bring it to us, and then we proceed forward.
I think Nicole wanted to speak on that.
Nicole?
Since she kind of...
I was going to say that we already talked to Bill Toole about it, and he said that moving forward, we will not accept a permit application until they've at least provided proof that they've submitted to do whatever's required. But I also want to say that on the approvals, it does say all connected utilities are to be disconnected, capped, and terminated in a safe, acceptable manner to the providing utility.
Okay.
So when they would go out there to inspect, if it wasn't done, then they wouldn't receive their completion certificate. And okay. They have to dig everything.
They can answer it for you.
Yeah. And I think it would be a good change so that we don't get in the middle of it like we are now. I'm surprised the gentleman from Shakers isn't here because they pretty much stopped him until they comply with what the county wants.
According to Todd, he went ahead and submitted it, and I think he's waiting to get it back before he starts demo. That's why they haven't started demo yet.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're just not going to accept permits until we have the
okay.
Documents.
Perfect. That's all.
Thank you, Nicole.
Me too.
Also, I wanted to thank you very much for the last minute us going to the Voter League of
Women's League of Voters.
Yes, thank you. Last week, there is a YouTube video where we spoke on it and explained to them and the women voters of Franklin County what's it mean for Franklin Township, their fire department going forward, what it looks like, and our home rule. So I think it was very successful that we went there to speak on the matter, and I thank you very much for attending.
Yeah, I'm happy to go.
Hey, Chief, I got a question. The fire
sir, rate. There's no questions from the audience at this time.
Shit. You have to wait. We got a big tax levy coming up. I'd like to know what the money is earmarked for.
Sir, this is our business meeting. There's been several meetings
this is a Franklin Township business meeting. I'm part of Franklin Township. I'm paying taxes. I want to know where the money's earmarked for. Is it going to wages? Is it going
sir,
to equipment?
I'm asking you to wait until after the meeting to ask this question. Because this is our meeting. There was a time for questions. You've already had your time for questions. And we've had several meetings to inform the public, and no one showed up. So I'm asking you, this is the last time I'm going to ask you not to interrupt the meeting. I've been pretty lenient up until this point in time.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman, should we open up for any questions regarding?
No, thank you. Bob, thank you. Moving on, Mr. Mazur.
Jerry, you want to? Shall we start off for us?
Oh, yeah, Jim, I'm sorry.
I got my stats, too.
So. Okay, why don't you do that, and then I'll fill them in on the where we are with the building and
hello, everybody.
Permits. And
this guy, I'm going to give it a list of bullshit. Can you even ask questions?
At the last meeting, I didn't have our stats compiled. Quentin hadn't gotten everything to me, but I got our stats for September. In September, we took 38 loads of brush. Once again, a lot of signage repair throughout the township. Mowed the township cemetery. Installed a new sign at the cemetery. The old sign that was there, it had just kind of gotten old and faded, so just had to just replace that one. Installed a barricade at Children's Services for Environmental Patrol. Environmental Patrol came to us. They were having trouble with people driving in between the church and the big garden area and going down in behind there, so you had to build a barricade.
So where was this at? Children's Services? Gotcha.
You know, where we have National Night Out.
Yeah, right.
They
go
come
in.
Around. So we just took some of the big logs and everything we had, and we went down and we just built a barricade so they can't get through there anymore.
I believe it was a couple meetings ago you had to step out because you had that meeting with them.
Yeah, it's a lot of dumping going on down there, so we're just
because that's where the old cabins or stuff used to be when that used to be something else years ago.
Yeah, but from what Detective Faye's saying, it's working, so let's keep it going. We mowed a line of sight down on Big Run, picked up 2 loads of dump trash out of the Broadlawn area, in the alleys. That was pretty horrendous. Sent out 2 more trash letters, repaired 60-foot of storm sewer up at Plank and Dover. Kind of had a situation happen up there, which I did bring up in our last meeting. Gentleman putting in some storm, uncovered a complete mess that had been left for us that we were completely unaware of from when the sanitary lines were put in. Deer Creek kind of left us a mess, so we had to go in there and completely fix that. We weren't even aware that there was an issue. Filled a water barrel to community garden, painted curbs and hydrants in Westfield, painted curbs and hydrants in Rosary Edition, installed the 8 no parking signs up on Industrial Mile. We're working on, and we're finishing up now, going through and painting all of our curbs, all of our hydrants township-wide right now with all the yellow paint. We painted all the stop bars throughout the township, attended the safety seminar at the county fairgrounds. So that's pretty much the stats from September. That wrapped up a lot of our time there. I know on the agenda you have a building update.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to turn that one over to Mr. Steve.
Mr. Stevens, Mr. Chairman, before we start, I had a couple questions.
Yep.
The high grass that was on Klein Road, I noticed it hasn't been cut yet. What are we doing on that? Is it timed out? Have we sent a letter?
We sent a letter, and it's timing out. I spoke with Chief Arnold about it. We know the individual that is there, and we're trying to prod this to get taken care of. So if he doesn't get it taken care of, it should have already timed out. We've been wrapped up on couple other projects here this week, so we haven't been able to get to that.
And then I wanted to check with you, sir, on what is the procedure for, we have our new leaf vac, and it looks like the leaves are saying, I'm staying on.
Well,
so we're looking at, and we had frost this morning.
Well, that's what I had a little note here, just letting you know that starting next week, we're supposed to start leaf collection next week. But you're absolutely correct. Things aren't dropping yet, but we're going to start getting the new leaf box mounted. We got a lot of things we need to do with the truck with the new leaf box in there, but we've got everything ready. We got both pieces of equipment already ready to go.
So do we have, and as Mother Nature's showing her hand, are we going to be ready when you have to switch back and forth to salt to, I hate to say that dirty word in here, but
that's bad.
It looks as if we're going to be well into November with leaves this year, and then you guys having to do set up the plow and then take the plows off and then set the trucks back and forth. Will we at least be able to have 2 trucks set up to go so you don't have to alter back and forth?
Yeah, we'll have 2 trucks ready to go. We'll have the big 750 and then the pickup ready to go with blades and spreaders on it. So if we had to go out, we can. You know, it's always a situation we run into every winter with just that. You know, a lot of times we're running late with the leaves just because of what Mother Nature does. And it's a dilemma that we could possibly run into at any time. If it's a major snowstorm, then we have to break everything down and then get everything set back up and then go back, you know, the other direction. But a lot of it's going to depend on what happens.
So my suggestion is, I'm just curious, a lot of times we sell this equipment off, and some of it, you know, like some of the 550s and the different ones we sold went for $5,000, $6,000. Would it behoove of us to keep a truck, even if we used it through the summer as, you know, we're needing a dump truck for something,
backup
and et cetera, that we have a designated truck. Once you set it up, you don't have to tear it down for the fall. So in the future planning, if we keep a vehicle, because if we're only getting $5,000, $6,000 out of it, it might be something either, if it's a backup truck, we just use it for salt and plowing for now, and then you don't have to worry about switching over the other vehicle.
Yeah, because that can be a pain when you're doing
yes.
it.
Yes, no, it's a lot of man hours.
That sounds like a great idea. Knock on wood, we really haven't.
Or vice versa, you could use it for the salt box and leave it set, whichever way you wanted to do it, A and B or B and C. So. Okay.
Did you get your, speaking of trucks, you get yours,
it's
fixed, ready to rock and roll?
It drove me nuts for about a week trying to track it down, and believe it or not, it ended up just being something so simple that we all just kind of overlooked. But yeah, it's good to go.
Good deal.
I'll let you start, and then wherever you decide you want to go with it, it's up to you.
I just wanted to update the board. The quotes for the new road department building are due October 22nd. The week after that, we'll do the opening, and then we'll review all the bids. and decide on who the best contractor is to start the project. We're working with the township's architect that was hired. We need a permit approval through zoning, through the county, for the new building. So that, it doesn't sound like that's going to be a complicated process, and we should be fine with that. I just want to make sure we dot the I's and cross the T's. And then lastly, and I have to compliment Jim and his crew, if you haven't noticed, behind the other service garage and behind the police module, Jim's guys took a couple days to absolutely make that area look pristine. They took all the vegetation out. They laid gravel down, and it actually turned out to be how many more parking places? 21?
I measured it out yesterday and laid it out. We should be able to put an additional 21 to 22 parking places. Not to mention once we do something with the island.
Yeah. Yes, and the island's coming out, and you'll pave the middle of the island where the first step was, with the new building, we're going to lose parking here for some of the firefighters. So we thought, well, where are we going to put them? So we decided we might as well just clean that whole area up that I spoke of earlier. And it's kind of interesting. I got an initial quote from a contractor, and they wanted $76,000 to do that project. Jim did it with his guys in 2 days at a cost of $15,000? Yeah. So we're going to finish it up, put some parking blocks out there, put some bollards up around the propane tank and the heating unit.
And we have those in-house now.
So there, we just, it really does. It's clean, it added more parking, and I think it'll help. You know, I know we're worried about the snow, we're trying to keep it clean, but
we'll make it work.
It's a huge improvement.
Yeah. I drove through there. It looks really nice.
So that's the latest on the building.
And we'll have plenty enough room for police and firefighters and road crews to park back there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't have an issue with trying to squeeze vehicles in and trying to find parking.
I want to bring some to the board's attention. We might have to do. I'm sure these firemen like to park back here because they can keep an eye on their car. If we're going to ask those firemen to park over there, we may need to consider some better cameras and some security. You know, unfortunately, I mean, I remember you talking about batteries being stolen out of your equipment and different things like that. So we have to take care of our people. So I just wanted to put that on the forethought of the board may need to do something about that.
Or even fencing.
I've talked to Mr. Major this morning, possibly doing a 10-foot fence with barbed wire.
So we already installed a large LED light on the backside. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been in here at nighttime and seen it on the backside of the building. And we're thinking about putting, we was talking about it today, we're going to put another one up there too, so we ought to be able to completely illuminate that whole back end.
And that'll help getting salt too.
And then before you get away, I wanted to thank you and your crew for taking care of the old car wash on the left-hand side of 3C Highway. Much appreciated. That insulation was just blowing down the road, and a lot of phone calls over that. So I know it's not necessarily, we've sent a letter to that guy, but I still don't think we've heard back, not a word. So,
yeah, that's hurting.
So thank you.
No problem. And thank you for taking care of that plank. Is it plank? Yeah, plank. And yeah, that was a mess. I seen the pictures and I stopped up there and it was a complete.
Unfortunately, we've got situations like that we're completely unaware of until it rears its ugly head. Yep. Just from that sanitary project.
I think we're gonna have a lot of those, and unfortunately we can't go back against Deer Creek Excavating because they're bankrupt.
With our camera that we've been using, which is another project that we're working on now throughout the township, dropping the camera and just inspecting. What we're running into is money back. You got the 10-inch storm.
Yeah.
You put the camera in, and the next thing you know, you run into it. What they did is they just took where there was 10-inch storm, and they just laid a piece of 6-inch pipe down in it. Well, your camera can't go through 10-inch to that, and we run into that a lot.
So at one point, they definitely had a I lost the name, what it's called, an insurance. They were bonded.
It was bonded with the bond.
So if we, the bond company, even though you go back and you find something, if you've documented this, why don't we get a hold of the county and find out who the bonding company was, because that is still good. That bond would still be active.
It's timed out.
For how many, is it's been 5 years?
Oh, it's been longer than that.
It's a 3 year, because I know the bond that we held on them was a 3 year bond.
Okay.
That was a 3 year bond.
And so it's been at least six or seven years.
Every bit of it.
Okay. Yeah.
But ours was, to answer your question, John, was a 3 year bond that we had.
But you've documented this and keep it in case. Yeah. Somewhere down the road, when the county's doing something again, say, look, this is what happened to us before, and we share it, we want to make sure. Because they had a county inspector right there on site.
And Jim had the county out there.
Oh, the county seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're aware of it.
I'll make sure we covered.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it looked like a party out there. We had so many people out there.
It's like, where do you sign up for a job like that? One guy digging, six watching.
Well, yeah, I wish it was like that. But that's all I've got. You gentlemen got anything?
Nope.
Thank you.
And the permit, the zoning permit, that's the only permit we'll need, correct?
Well, we'll need permit for the capping of the water and sewer.
Right, yeah.
And that's it, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What else do you have for us?
I have motions for bills and payroll. The first one is a motion to approve accounts payable. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to approve accounts payable from October 1, 2024 through October 11, 2024 in the amount of $282,316.25 from electronic payment vouchers number 1798-2024 through 1937-2024, and the exhibit is attached for your review if you'd like.
I'm so moved as the motion is written, and I'd ask for a second.
I will second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I will ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Gentlemen, the next thing I have is a motion to approve payroll written. Payroll reports is written, presented on October 17, 2024. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to approve payroll for the pay period beginning September 22, 2024 through October 5, 2024 in the gross amount of $187,251.38. The ACH direct deposits to staff for this pay period were made on October 11, 2024 via electronic vouchers 1869 through 1936-2024. And again, as exhibits attached for your review.
I would move make a motion that's accepted as the motion's written, and I would ask for a second.
I stepped out for a minute.
I'll second it.
Can we have a roll call?
Yes, Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. Good catch, John. I'm gonna.
So where did that come from?
If you just want to review it, John.
Did you want to review?
I got it on here.
Okay.
The next is Resolution 2024-173. It's a resolution to provide supplemental appropriation number 13 for the period commencing January 1, 2024 and ending December 31st, 2024. Whereas it is necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio during the year ending December 31st, 2024. And whereas the annual appropriations resolution 2023-270 for the period from January 1, 2024 through December 31, 2024 needs amended. The sums presented in Exhibit A hereto attached, B, and the same are hereby set aside and appropriated for several purposes from which expenditures are to be made for and during the year ending December 31st, 2024. These are formal actions of this board concerning and relating to the adoption of this resolution. They were passed in an open meeting of this board, and that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that resulted in such formal action were in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and shall be in force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
So moved as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I will second.
Any discussion on this matter? Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
Next resolution I have is 2024-174, obligations approved by the Township Administrator between October 1, 2024 and October 15, 2024. The Board of Trustees in Resolution 2021-130 authorized the Township Administrator to approve and incur obligations of $10,000 or less on behalf of the Township in accordance with Section 507.11 of the ORC. Pursuant to the provisions of Section 507.11A of the ORC, the obligations approved and incurred by the Township Administrator must subsequently be approved by the adoption of a formal resolution of the Board of Trustees. The obligations authorized by the Township Administrator as presented in Exhibit A attached are hereby approved. These are formal actions of the Board concerning and related to the adoption of this resolution were passed in an open meeting of this Board. In such formal action, were in an open meeting of the public and were in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the ORC. This resolution shall be declared an emergency and shall be in full force effective immediately upon its adoption. And the amount is $65,733.68.
So moves as the resolution is written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second that.
Any discussion on this? Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
This, reading this will put you right to sleep. The baby will go right to sleep, I promise.
I'll be here more often.
I promise.
This will definitely help.
Initially, trustees, you'll see was a resolution 2024-175. That's for an unsafe structure. I did not want to present that yet because Todd Breaker has been gracious enough. He is working on the report that I can attach to that resolution for the trustees. So the next meeting we will have that.
Okay.
But I do have resolution 2024-176. It's a resolution declaring the property owned by Sean Furlong located at 1221 Brown Road a nuisance. Whereas the Franklin Township Board of Trustees has found the property owned by Karen Mitchell located, is that right?
1221 Brown Road.
No. There's a typo in that. Okay. It's parcel number 140-001336-00 is littered with garbage, refuse, debris, including but not limited to solid household waste, miscellaneous cardboard, plastic containers, miscellaneous building materials, miscellaneous metal trash, refuse, and debris. Pursuant to 507.870 ORC, the board is authorized to determine that the maintenance of the vegetation, garbage, refuse, and other debris upon the property constitutes a nuisance and orders the property owner to remove such vegetation and debris within 7 days. If the owner fails to remove the refuge and debris or to make arrangements for the removal within the allotted time period, the board may proceed to remove the refuge and debris and enter the cost of such removal upon the tax duplicate of the property. And it is the best interest of Franklin Township and its residents to proceed under 505.87 of the ORC to remove the garbage, refuse, and debris from the property. So be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board has found that the property owned by Sean Furlong, located at 1221 Brown Road, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, known as parcel number 140-001336-00 in Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, is littered with garbage, refuse, and debris. The board hereby determines that the maintenance of the garbage, refuse, and debris on the property constitutes a nuisance and pursuant to 505.870 ORC orders the following action. The Board of Trustees may provide for abandonment, control, or removal of vegetation, garbage, refuse, and other debris from the land in the township. If the board determines the owner's maintenance of that vegetation, garbage, refuge, or other debris constitutes a nuisance, at least 7 days before providing for the abatement, control, or removal of any vegetation, garbage, refuge, or other debris, the Board of Township Trustees shall notify the owner of the land and any holders of liens of record upon that land. The owner is ordered to abate, control, or remove the vegetation, garbage, refuge, or other debris, the owner's maintenance of which has been determined by the board to be a nuisance. If that vegetation, garbage, refuge, or other debris is not abated or removed, or provisions for the abatement or removal are not made within 7 days, the board shall provide for the abatement, control, or removal of any costs incurred by the board performing that task shall be entered upon the tax duplicate and become a lien upon the land from the date of entry. The board shall send a notice to the owner of the land by certified mail. If the owner is a resident of the township or is a non-resident whose address is known, and by certified mail to lien holders of record. Alternately, if the owner is a resident of the township or is a non-resident whose address is known, the board may give notice to the owner by causing any of its agents or employees to post a notice on the principal structure on the land and to photograph the posted notice with a camera capable of recording the data of the photograph on it. If the owner's address is unknown and cannot reasonably be attained, it is sufficient to publish the notice once in a newspaper of general circulation in the township. If the board determines within 12 months, consecutive months after a prior nuisance determination, the same owner's maintenance of vegetation or other debris on the same land in the township constitutes a nuisance, at least 4 days before providing for the abatement, control, and removal of vegetation or other debris, the board shall give notice of the subsequent nuisance determination to the owner of the land and to any holders of liens upon record as follows. The board shall send written notice by first class mail to the owner of the land and to any lien holders of record. Failure of delivery of the notice shall not invalidate any action to abate or remove the nuisance. Board may also give notice to the owner by causing any of its agents or employees to post notice on the principal structure on the land to photograph that posted notice with a camera capable of recording the date. If the owner's address is unknown and cannot be reasonably obtained, it is sufficient to post notice on the Board of Trustees' internet website for 4 consecutive days. The owner of the land or holders of liens of record upon the land may enter an agreement with the Board of Trustees providing for either party to the agreement to perform the abatement, control, or removal before the board is required to provide the abatement, control, or removal under Division E of this section within 7 days. This is Section E. Within 7 days after notice is given under Division B of this section, or within 4 days is given under Division C of this section, The owner of the land fails to obey control and remove vegetation or debris, or no agreement for its abatement control and removal is entered, the Board of Trustees shall provide for abatement control and may employ necessary labor and equipment to perform the task. All costs incurred shall be paid out of the Township General Fund. Except that if costs incurred exceed $500, the board may borrow from a financial institution. The Board of Trustees shall make a written report to the county auditor of the board's actions under this section. The board shall include in the report a proper description of the premises and statement of all costs incurred in providing for the abatement and removal of garbage, refuse, and debris as provided in section Division E, including the board charges for its services and costs incurred in providing notice, any fees or interest, to borrow money, and the amount paid for labor, materials, and equipment. The county auditor shall place the cost upon a tax duplicate. The costs are lien upon the land from and after the date of entry. The cost shall be returned to the township and placed in the township's general fund. Be it further resolved, the board finds and determines that all formal actions of this board concerning related to this passage of this resolution were taken in an open meeting of the board and are in compliance with the ORC section 121.22, except as otherwise permitted thereby, and that this resolution shall be enforced and effective immediately upon its adoption.
I've got the correction here.
Perfect.
Yeah, Nicole already corrected it. Can you go over line? No, I'm just kidding. make a motion to accept the resolution as written. I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, did the baby go to sleep?
It did its job, and Madison got the baby to sleep with Steve's reading of that, so I think we're good there.
You have a second, sir.
Yeah, I have a second. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. And thank you, Nicole, for correcting that quickly.
Just a couple other things, trustees. The new HVAC unit was installed this week. It's working great.
Even though the AC don't need to be used today. First day of frost.
Those poor guys who were out there in the rain.
So my question is, did anyone not turn the heat on this week? Really? Holding off, huh?
All right, bam.
And then I sent you all an email. We have two quick claim deeds for properties on Whitehead that Kosick has foreclosed on. They want to transfer ownership of the property to the township. I spoke with Julie, the counsel for the township. She's comfortable with this. There's really no paperwork that's involved with us. And we actually have a potential buyer for both parcels. So I just wanted to get the approval of the board through a motion that we can proceed with this and transfer ownership to the township.
I would make a motion that we accept the quick deed process for said properties at parcel 140-003-908 and parcel 140-003-909 on Whitehead Road.
I would second that.
Any discussion?
Yes. On discussion on this, in the past, anytime that we went to sell the property, Franklin Township has been stringent on building something on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they buy the property, they have to show what they're going to do and et cetera. We've been pretty successful. Are we sticking with that same premise?
I would be happy to make that stipulation on the sale of the property.
There were stipulations, and I think Nicole would probably be able to pull them up better than I would. It's been a while since we did this, but even when we auctioned off property, it couldn't be a rental, and it had to be, it couldn't be a trailer or a modular. It had to be an actual structure, and they had to be able to maintain it for so many years. And so what that did, it was, it kept our township from being polluted with something thrown together that was a rental or someone going in and saying, okay, I'm just going to put this up. And it's really worked out well because it's welcomed new people into the township that were able to build their dream home that they wanted to and be in a community that they would love to be in. And it also protects the residents of, as we're seeing, what's going on next door. Do you really want affordable housing that is six stories tall? And it wasn't able to, the key is to annex it. So certain stipulations, which we'll have to check with Julie to see which ones we can really make stick. That's all I have, sir.
Any other discussion?
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. Motion carries.
Next, I wanted to talk about the Teamsters union negotiations. I spoke with their rep, and he would like to start negotiations November 4th and November 5th. What I'd like to do is find out when it's convenient for the trustees is to establish a time for an executive meeting where we can go into the details of the negotiation. Specifically, we are starting to get information on health insurance rates, and that way I can get with the board and we can discuss and know exactly where we are in preparing for the negotiating process.
I would make a recommendation that we do an executive session to discuss that on the 14th, November 14th.
Well, we have the union
on the 4th and the 5th.
Yes.
Why don't we do it?
Now you have a meeting.
We have a meeting. Can't we just come in before that meeting and do it?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Mike.
Oh yeah. But we won't have their contract, they're asking.
And unless they meet before, then that's what Mr. Blevins.
Oh, you want to do your, I'm sorry, I thought he wanted to know what the board wanted to go into negotiations with.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I misunderstood. Yes. I apologize. Let's do an executive session at 10:30 on the 31st. Okay. That's okay with the other?
I'm good.
Okay.
Terrific. And if the board, and I might as well throw this out now so you can schedule this if you can, I've already presented to the union rep that the trustees may be in this process.
Right.
I figured if we could get at least two of the trustees here, it kind of kills two birds with one stone, and there's no back and forth where I'm being the messenger and meeting with you, and this
there's
way
there's no drop of communication.
This is exactly this way you hear it directly, if you're comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. And we are doing both, correct? Two different contracts, but both at the same time.
Yes, even though the one union group, their contract doesn't expire until next year, the union has been agreeable to do both of them at the same time, and they get them on the same cycle.
Right, well, it'd be cool for them to do that.
Yes.
It benefits both parties.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's no, there's no downside there as far as I can see.
Right.
Then the next thing I have, Nicole and I sat in a meeting with Revolution Group, who's the IT consultant for the township. And I think we've talked about this before, excuse me, where they brought up the proposal of the township purchasing their ransomware security package. And the big concern is with everything going on with computers being hacked and ransoms being established for those computers that have been hacked. Eric Cavall, who's a representative of Rev Group, suggested that we revisit this, having ransomware. So anything that comes from inside the township on a computer that goes out is better protected than what we have now. We unfortunately had an episode here where we had a computer hacked, and it took us quite a while, and we were fortunate that we didn't have any really serious problems, but we had an issue where a computer from a township issued computer was being used, and again, unfortunately, for lack of a better term, it got...
It was being used very loosely.
Compromised.
Well, it was compromised, yes. That their outside sources got a hold of that and used it for...
financial gain.
Yeah.
Well, in today's world, you look at what just happened to the city of Columbus and other government agencies, I think it's a good thing to sit down and discuss.
And the cost is, it's to install it, the labor to install it is $1,400. And I believe per computer, it's $2.50 per license, which would cost the township approximately $50 as a monthly service. So the one-time installation cost would be $1,400, and then the monthly service fee per workstation is $50. But again, as you said, this is just, I just wanted to present this to the board, and we can continue to have discussion.
What's the total cost in that, $7,500 and something?
Well, how many computers we have? We got?
Well, it would be, let me do my math, it's $600 a year for the monthly service, and the one-time $1,400 installation fee.
$7,675.
How much?
Huh?
How much?
Well, it's $6,000 with the, that.
$600.
It's 614, isn't it? Isn't that what you said? 600.
The 1,400 for the one-time installation.
So it's 2,000, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and then the monthly.
Right, comes to the monthly would end up coming to 7,000.
So it would be 600 a year for the license.
That's right.
And then 1,400 for the one-time installation fee.
And then $50 a computer per month.
Well, that would be it. The $600 would be...
He's not saying each computer, are you? You're saying a one-time.
No, for each computer.
Each computer.
Each
computer.
It's $2.50.
Yeah, times that by 10, if you had 10...
Oh, it's $2.50 per computer.
And he was saying with the number of workstations we have, it would be $50 a month.
Okay.
Okay.
So
doesn't that still come out to...
That's $2,000 a year.
You just said he's saying $600.
Yeah, that's $600 for $50 a month.
Right.
So, and there is that. Where's the other $600?
No. It would just be the license.
And then the $1,400
would be a one-time installation cost. So the township would.
I think Nicole has something she.
$840. For the two together, the 614, and that's, so we're looking at, actually that came
that
out.
That ain't right, it's no. $2,000. Yes, Nicole.
Is that the product where he said that we wouldn't actually have that monthly cost because of our type of Microsoft license, or
that,
is that something different?
That was the,
The 1400 is the one time.
Yeah.
And then the 600 is the.
Is that the Defender?
Yeah. Okay, that one's the Defender. Then that's the Defender.
I think $1,800. If you have these two added together,
my computer's. That's $2,000.
Okay.
Initial fee, right? And
yeah.
Then after that, it becomes 600 a year.
Right.
If I understand.
For how
it
many
right.
computers?
No, no, he already added
Microsoft
up.
Microsoft 365.
Our computers, he said. Defender. It's $50 gotcha. A month for
okay.
Yeah.
I think.
So my question is, gentlemen, do we add them to our devices? Meaning, because when we check our emails and et cetera.
I think that covers them, don't it?
Did you add
that covers it, our devices, our phones?
Our devices?
Because we check our emails on our phone and our tablet
computers.
I'm sorry?
It's per Redroot managed workstation.
Okay.
So, okay.
Is that right, Steve? It's
yes.
Workstation.
Yes. Because he get the flat cost
yeah.
he gave us was $50.
I okay. use Bit
okay.
Bit Defender.
What would you need from us, Mr. Mazur?
I just wanted to throw that out there because I knew we had that discussion in the past, and like I said, the consultant brought it back up again, and I said I'll bring it back to the board. It doesn't have to be a decision made unless you're prepared to do that, but it's something that you can just mull, and we can revisit it.
So. Mr. Chairman, how about if I make a resolution to accept the vendor's cost not to exceed $700 a year to provide additional web security for each of our said locations, each of our said low desk locations or units, effective whenever.
And the $1,400 original install.
Correct.
So you're saying the total cost be not to exceed $2,100.
Correct.
And that would be resolution 2024-178, if I'm not mistaken.
178.
Yeah. I would second that resolution. Not ask for discussion. Hearing none, I would ask for roll call.
Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
Mr. Leeser?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that...
And I don't have a problem with it. Sorry, John. I don't have a problem doing resolutions like this because
yeah.
we've all talked about it beforehand. This is just
this is the second
time that he brought it up.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was going to say because... We're spending $600 plus the $1,400, so $2,100 the first year, then $600 every year after. What would it cost the township if we had a situation that the city had where ransomware and et cetera? So at least if we do our due diligence in trying to maintain, because the bad people out there are getting more savage and learning how to evolve, and if we don't keep up, then... We're just open for right picking.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Anything else, Mr. Mazur?
No, sir. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was going to yield my time for questions for the fire levy, but seeing most of them left, ma'am, do you have any questions on the fire levy? Okay. I have nothing else, John.
I do not, but I'm going to ask a question since you're new. This is just for me as a resident too. Would you feel comfortable to tell me what fire levy may mean to you and how you feel about it?
I have no idea.
Okay, okay, that's
sorry.
Fine. I've just been asking as a trustee, but as a resident, when people call me about it and ask questions, I've been wanting to hear what they have to say because I don't want to sway someone, but I want to hear other people's concerns and things of that nature to make sure we're hitting the benchmark with what the public says. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but you know we haven't seen you here before, so I just thought this would be a nice refresh, possibly something that we could work with. So,
what all does it entail?
I'm sorry?
What all does it entail?
Chief, do you
Chief, wish? I've yielded my time to you.
It's basically an operating levy that has been needed to be replaced for over a decade. We finally got one together that we think is going to work. It's going to keep both stations open and keep the level of service where it's at now.
So what we're doing is we're doing away with three levies
okay.
and just consolidating having one.
Okay.
Because you don't want to continue to every 4 years. Wow, they put another levy on. It's just that
right.
those levies were continuing levies called a time levy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do away with the time levy and have one permanent levy,
we don't have to keep coming back to the public and it look as if, what are you doing with the money? Well, in my opinion, a time levy is meant for if you're getting a new fire truck, building a new station, after 4 years and that's paid for, that levy automatically goes away. And but you don't operate on that because if it fails, you have to cut your force off right then. I do not have anything, sir.
Okay. Mr. Blevins, do you have anything else?
This is a business meeting, and they discussed that earlier and everything, but I just want to let everybody know that I generally try to stay afterwards, and the other trustees do too, but I mean, if you want to ask questions afterwards, please know, and this is for people at home, a new young lady with a baby here today, and the gentleman that left, that we were happy to stick around afterwards, but we're just trying to get through business. That's all. I just want to explain.
We can't have the interruption. So just reporting out.
I just wanted you to know that. And that's all I got, sir.
Yeah, thank you. We're done. Nothing else. Meeting's adjourned.
You got a second, Tom?